and welcome to the All by the Popcorn podcast. I'm Alessandra.
And I'm Emily.
And today we are talking about the latest Marvel movie, Shang-Chi, right?
Shang-Chi, yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
We saw it in theaters, right? Because that's all sure that's available right now. So it was
good. It even available for premiere access on Disney Plus?
No, it wasn't. Right? And that is that ongoing lawsuit with Black Widow is also involved Benedict Cumberbatch now. I think.
What?
I don't know. I don't want to be. What? Something's going on with that. I haven't read it recently, but yeah.
Interesting. If anyone knows about it, please send us the deets. I like to know all the Marvel Disney drama.
It's, I mean, maybe that Black Widow would have made as much money as Shang-Chi would have, but I don't know. It definitely wasn't as good of a movie as Shang-Chi, so
I don't know. I have a lot of thoughts about Shang-Chi. I enjoyed it a lot, but like some things were kind of interesting that I'm definitely going to bring up today. Before we kind of get started, I don't remember watching the trailer for Shang-Chi, so I really didn't know what it was going to be about.
You didn't even watch one trailer?
I really have just not been watching trailers. I don't even know if I watched a trailer for Black Widow. I might have. I probably have. And maybe it was a teaser, and then I didn't see another one. And I definitely saw the Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man trailer that just, or that teaser just that just released.
Out. Yes. Yeah. That was very recent.
I remember maybe seeing like a promo for Shang-Chi, maybe watching a teaser. I remember seeing like a dragon or something in the trailer, but like not really. I either wasn't paying attention or I didn't really know. Like I just was not really thinking about it. So this I had no idea what was going to happen like going into this movie. I thought the way it was laid out was very different for Marvel. Like I thought it was very different.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of with like this epic story that like kind of spans quite a bit of time. Like, you know, we talk about the movie starts with like Shang-Chi's father attaining the Ten Rings and kind of being able to live for like 1,000 years. I guess the rings allow you to mm-hmm. to live.
Be immortal.
Be immortal if you wear them. And then kind of like just like watching this the beginning of this movie felt very much like some of the movies that we watched in Study of Film, like the Crouching Tiger.
Hidden Dragon. Yes. And they share an actress as well.
Do they?
Yeah, it's the actress from Star Trek. Michelle Yeoh. She is in.
She's in that? I totally forgot. Mm-hmm.
She's,
oh my goodness,
so fucking great.
she's so beautiful.
I mean,
she's just
so beautiful.
I have no words. I have no words for how amazing she is.
I love her so much. I mean, obviously, I'm a fan of hers from various things. She's been in a lot of stuff, but yeah, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon is one of like her most iconic roles, and well known in the Western world at least. Because she's been in a lot of things that are in China and then also in the Western world after that movie. So, but just icon, really, just amazing.
Yeah, I wanna rewatch that movie. But we basically have like for a good portion of the beginning of the movie, like I mean a good like 20 minutes maybe. Mm-hmm. Is like this period piece, basically. Like we get a lot of history. Mm-hmm. We get like how Shang-Chi's father and his mother met.
My background like how, here.
Yes, yes. If you're watching on YouTube,
the sexy dance fight.
Ooh. Oh my gosh, this fight was so beautiful. I like could not like all the choreography, like all of the fight scenes, all of the choreography was beautiful. I loved watching it. Oh my gosh, it was gorgeous. It was absolutely gorgeous. Oh my gosh, all of it.
And it starts off, like, the movie starts off with this fight. Like, it has some backstory, but then it has this, like, dance fighting situation with the two parents, like, getting close together. And it really is, like, such an amazing experience to watch something like this unfold as the very beginning of this movie. And it really sucks you in a way that I just... It really is so close to Chinese filmmaking to have something like this, like to have the kind of dance close fighting thing. That is like a very like established, like when you're talking about like samurai Chinese, or not samurai, but you know, like Chinese kind of like kung fu and everything like that, like everything together. We've seen that in various other Chinese films and stuff that are like period dramas like that.
Yeah.
So it is like so good that it paid homage to the past and the, you know, things that came before it in a lot of Chinese film and stuff like that. So that was excellent. I loved it.
Yeah, kind of going back to what I was saying earlier, that this just felt very different from our other Marvel movies that we've gotten, mm-hmm. which is great. Like, mm-hmm. I really loved that. I guess I was mostly confused about, like, because even by the end of the movie, we really don't know much about these 10 rings. Like, we just know yeah. that his father got them, and now Shang-Chi has them, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and we don't really know we know they're very old. We kind of have, like, that end credit scene at the very end, so I guess mm-hmm. that was, like, a little interesting to me, because, like, every other Marvel movie that we've had, that's like an origin story, we've known how the superhero gets their powers, mm-hmm. and, like, that's very well established. The fact that we finished this one and not know anything about his power and maybe what more could even unfold with yeah. these rings, because, like, he does some crazy shit with these rings.
Uh-huh.
And, like,
yeah.
and who knows what, like, new stuff could even be unlocked, like, if there's some, like, crazy magical artifact that has, like, an untapped power. Like, who knows? They change color when they're on someone.
Right.
So, like, you know, his father had them and they were blue. Shang-Chi's turned, like, yellow. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they change. I think they turned, like, green when, like, his mother had them or something. Or they mm-hmm. changed a color when she had them, or red. I don't really know.
Yeah.
I thought they changed a color. I don't remember if it was yellow, though, as well. But, they changed a color when she took them over. So it's just... It's just super interesting, still not knowing what these are even about. So that was one of the things that was, like, a little weird to me, but, like, mm-hmm. not bad, just, like, just different. And I'm, like, trying to wrap my head around it.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Like, it was strange to not have that be the center of the movie, but I think it was just an aspect of the movie, which...
Yeah.
It was more about the drama between him and his sister and his father.
Right.
And, like, the origin of their family.
Right.
And it was a lot more, like, nuanced than even other family dramas that we've seen in Marvel. Like, of course, there's Thor, which is supposed to be kind of a, you know, family drama-esque, but we don't really yeah. get that as much. And then we've got, Black Panther, which is very family drama heavy, very, like, Shakespearean as well in yeah. its ways of telling the story. And that is a lot more, I think, effective because we've got, like, Killmonger as the, you know, denounced nephew and everything. So we've got that whole aspect of that movie, which, again, was a strength of that movie. So I think building upon Black Panther with Shang-Chi was good because it gave us, like, layers of a person that we could really know him by showing us all these backstories of his parents, his family, his sister. It really was, like, so much more dynamic than we've ever seen from any of the other. I mean, it's crazy. Like, we really know who he is. Like, we really don't see that with any of the other superheroes that we've seen. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, don't you agree?
Yeah, yeah, completely. And kind of, like, comparing it to Black Panther as well. Like, I think other than being off-planet, which we were very aware, Thor other characters that we've learned about are all very, like, they have their own planet, they have their own center of the universe that they kind of do all their stuff in. Black Panther, it's just, Wakanda is just, like, kind of, like, a hidden area that's still on Earth. Like, it's still very much a part of it, but it's still kind of, like, its own little utopia, in a way. Yeah. And then kind of getting introduced to this realm. Yeah. Like, they had to go through a portal to get there. We're not sure if it's on Earth. We're not sure if it's on another planet, in a different universe, that's in a so different true. Timeline.
Yeah.
Like, we really don't know. And it's, and, you know, with all of this multiverse, parallel universe time stuff that's kind of happening with Marvel right now, that's also a little tough for me to wrap my head around,
and
because
Wong's,
like,
in there,
kind of,
so, you
yes,
know.
And, like, Wong shows up, and we're just like, well, I mean, yes, that makes sense, but, like, it's just introducing. It's the first Marvel movie of this phase, I think, to really introduce, other than, like, Loki, and maybe even WandaVision, to really bring in this, like, multiverse, other realms, like, to kind of set, like, solidify it in a way. Like, yeah. I'm still getting used to it, because when we first went to that new realm that the mother's society is in.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird. I kept getting, like, taken out and brought back into this movie. It was really hard for me to just, like, stay connected. I would, like, I don't know. I was out in space. Like, I was attached to, like, a space station, but I would let go every once in a while. but then I'd somehow find my bearings and get pulled back in. Like, I was doing that the entire time, because I was like, oh, you're losing me. You're losing me. Okay, I'm back. Yeah. I'm back. Yeah. Like, it was so weird to wrap my head around all this stuff that, like, it was tough. So this movie for me was a weird experience. Not to mention, I was going to do a little bit of a rant, because we had some annoying people in the movie theater.
Oh, okay.
Yes, just a quick PSA, you know, a quick little, just, like, remember, guys, if you're going to a movie, put your phone away. No looking at your phone. Mm-hmm. And even if you're not, even though I know you're trying to be respectful and only talk during parts where no one's talking, it still takes people out of the experience of the movie if you're chatting next to people.
Yes.
You need to shut up for the full 2.5-3 hours. I don't care. You need to shut it. Shut it. You know, like an oh shit here and there, or like a yeah, like that's fine. That's fine. But chit-chatting throughout the, like, that is not okay. That's disrespectful, okay? Shut up. Okay. So that was tough for me, too. You know, this, I probably would have liked this movie a lot more if people weren't being bitches. I mean, you know, what am I going to do? So I feel like
have.
I need to see it again. I feel like I need to see it again now, because my experience was tarnished in a way. But no, other than that, it was annoying, but I got through it, and I still got the idea of what was happening. But yeah, being, like, pulled in and out, it, just because this movie being so different was a little hard for me. Other, like, on top of the other shit that was happening, obviously. But
you always have such horrible experiences at the movies. Like, I don't know why.
I know I'm hyper observant, so I can see a phone screen, like, from a few rows up. Like, that might be my issue. Like, I just can't tune things out. But that's also the other people's fault. Like, you shouldn't be doing that anyway.
No, you shouldn't be chatting so much. You shouldn't be on your phone. I 100% agree. Like, it really sucks that you've been having so many bad experiences at the movies. Because, like, I felt very absorbed in this movie. I saw it in IMAX. My experience was genuinely really good. So, seeing this, and I actually went to go see it with a ton of my friends. We all got tickets, and, you know, our AMC has a bar in it, so we all got drinks and watched the movie. So, that was really fun.
Yeah.
But it also
I don't have an issue with Marvel movies, because normally Marvel fans are usually very considerate. So this, I don't know. I mean, these people also left before the second end credits scene. So, you know, they're not even true Marvel fans. So,
no.
And we knew that there was going to be a second, I went with my roommate roommate told me there was going to be, because I didn't know. I would have stayed to the end anyway, but, my roommate told me that there was going to be a second one, and I was like, I don't even want to do you guys a solid and tell you that there's going to be a second. Like, get out of here. I don't want to see your face. Get out of this theater.
Before that was like I flip this chair. I saw the Green Knight, and there was those two guys that were, like, down the row from me who were just being, like, really just shouldn't have been seeing that movie. And they left, like I said, but, you know. I enjoyed this movie a lot. I really liked it. I thought there were a lot of flashbacks. That's kind of my main gripe with it. It was kind of falling back on the use of flashbacks for its entire narrative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's great, but it just there like maybe there could so
have been
many.
There could have just been a section for that and just get them done with and then just kind of continue on with the story. Like, I don't do you think the flashbacks were they paralleling something? Were they being put to good use, or was it just to kind of, because I also thought the pacing was like a little weird with just the overall current storyline things happening and then with the flashbacks as well. Like, I thought the pacing was like a little wonky.
I think because there were so many flashbacks, it stops the story, right? So it just goes, you go a little bit and then you stop, and then you go a little bit and then you stop. And it was like that the whole movie. Like,
yeah,
definitely was good. To know all this information and all this backstory, and especially with the mother and the whole mother's death scene situation. Yes. That was, like, really, really good. But I thought there was, like, too much of the adolescent Shang-Chi, trying to figure out who he was. And then also the sister. And we had to see those scenes. And we, like, didn't really need to see them. Like, I feel like we could have just been explained them instead of, like, shown them, but you know what, that's a choice, so I get it. And the actors who played the baby, it was cute in the end when his dad was about to die and his soul is being sucked out of him, and then we saw like Shang-Chi as like an adult and then a young man and then a little kid and then a baby, and it was just like, oh, that little baby was so cute.
So cute. So cute.
It's like they got the cutest little baby, like a chubbiest little baby, and he was just like, oh. But I thought that, you know, that was nice, but it kind of made me think of that those shots in Captain Marvel, where she's like standing up many times, you know what I'm talking about, where she's like crouched down and stands up. That was Captain Marvel, like it was over and over again, and it was like,
you know what I mean.
Like, so when things are repeated, that's when it's a little bit like, did we need to see this again? Like, we remember. You know what I mean?
I feel like I saw a couple repetitive shots as well. I remember that.
But let's talk about, like, all the fun stuff in this movie, because there was so much fucking hilarious and fun things. Everything involving the sister, so the whole fight thing was fantastic. Her ring, like, Wong was there, seeing, like, this, where were they? Malau or something? Like, I don't even know. They were... They were in another country, and they were just like, and it was like so flashy and cool. And just like,
they were in like a fight club, basically.
Yeah, fight club. Yeah, that was awesome. And the whole fight on the scaffolding was fun. It was really fun.
So cool. It was so cool. Yeah.
Awkwafina was fantastic. So we'll talk about her in a little bit. because I just want to give her her due diligence.
Yes.
But also, like, the fact that the whole maze, like, labyrinth thing that they were driving through with the bamboo.
Yeah, of the bamboo trees. That was crazy.
That was so cool.
It, like, oh my gosh, you know what it made me think? It made me think of that creepy maze in the fourth Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. Goblet of Fire.
Right, because things, like, are closing up and opening. Yes. And yeah, it was definitely, yes, a lot like that. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That was fun. This one was a lot more fun, though.
Oh, yeah. It was really neat. It was, it felt, like, really mystical. It was cool.
Yeah. But yeah, so in present time, we kind of meet up with Shang-Chi. He's now a valet. Him and Awkwafina are, like, both, they're just friends.
In San Francisco.
In San Francisco, and they're just valets for this hotel, and they just don't really care about doing anything else. I mean, We kind of get a better understanding of Shang-Chi, like, kind of turning to this, because, you know, it's just, like, he chose to do this. This is what he wants to do. He's not told to do this. He's not being told how he needs to do whatever. Awkwafina's character, Katie, you know, her family kind of tells her, like, you know, live up to your potential. Like, you went to school for this, mm-hmm, or whatever. Like, you should be doing something more substantial with your life. And so with her, like, we're not sure why she just chose to be a valet. Maybe she's also fine with just doing that as her job.
Mm-hmm.
But then he gets that postcard from his sister, who we find out didn't actually send it, and it was from his father trying to bring everyone together, I guess. Mm-hmm. He was trying to get the mother gave both Shang-Chi and his sister a necklace that, like, opened a door or started, what was it, like, showed the map. Showed the water map.
Yeah, too.
Yes.
Which the water was amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. And I guess that Fight Club had some references to stuff, too. What was it? In the theater, Casey said that one of the fighters had the stuff from Iron Man 3 in them. Like, the red thing. The red stuff. I don't know what it's called.
Uh-huh.
I don't talk about Iron Man 3.
Well, we had another reference to Iron Man 3 with Trevor.
Please don't remind me. Please don't remind me.
But also the dad brought it up, and I'm really glad that they were, like, acknowledging the Mandarins. Like, it was really strange, and it was strange when it came out, and it was just like, oh, this guy's, like, appropriating Chinese culture as an actor. So it was kind of involving him so heavily in the story was really interesting and just, like, funny. Like, you're like, okay, sure.
I wouldn't say funny. I would say a little weird, and I didn't like it.
Oh yeah,
I didn't like it.
Having Ben Kingsley in it.
I love Ben Kingsley, don't get me wrong, but I heavily disliked his character in Iron Man 3. So
yeah, he's a weird guy.
Yeah, and then I guess in a way we learned that was it the dad that was, like, kind of puppeteering the Mandarin, or did he just hire Trevor, like, after he kind of found him? Like,
he, like, stole him from prison. He, like, took him because he was in prison, and then he, like, took him from prison, and he was gonna kill him.
I guess I'm forgetting what happened. So what happened in Iron Man? So who was puppeteering the Mandarin?
It was another guy. I forgot his name.
Was it Guy Pierce? Wasn't Guy Pierce in that movie?
I think you're right.
Wasn't he the guy that made that red stuff?
Yes. Yeah. I guess. I really don't remember. I even listened to a recap of that movie, like, within the past year. I still don't remember.
A part of me is,
remember,
like, I should rewatch that movie, but then a part of me is like, fuck no, I'm not gonna do that.
Yeah, like, it's not the best. It's not I liked it better than the second one, I think.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, the second one was terrible. But yeah.
There's, like,
sure,
the little
the third
kid
one was
in the
better
third
than
one
the second
too.
One.
There's, like, there,
that sounds vaguely familiar.
I actually saw the movie at midnight. Like, I went, because I was in college when that came out. And I went to the movies by myself because no one would go to the movies with me.
But that's probably when I went too. Luckily for me, I had a couple of friends who liked Marvel movies, so I would go with them. So sorry, you didn't have anyone to go with.
I, like, went to go to the movies alone all the time in college. I still do that. I still go to the movies by myself. I almost went to the movies today to go see...
Free Guy for a third time? Nope.
No. No. I was gonna go see Jungle Cruise, and I didn't because I was making a dress today. But I'm gonna go. I might go tomorrow. Maybe I'll go tomorrow. I'm gonna go.
Please.
I'm gonna go tomorrow, I promise.
Will you please go see it? Will you
please? I promise I'm gonna go.
Please. For the love of goodness, will you please go see that movie?
I will. Oh the little see it again. The other thing I think that kind of brought us out of this, which was strange, was all these like really brilliant creatures that were in this alternate place as well. Because when we were introduced to this furry creature with wings that looked like a chicken with no face.
Let's backstep. Shang-Chi's sister and Katie thrown in jail.
Yeah.
Cool. They hear something happening. They walk down a hallway, open up the door. There's Trevor.
I'm already like,
fuck you, I hate your face, get out of here.
Wow, like why such a visceral reaction? It's really not that bad.
I feel so bad. I immediately was like, do I need to hate this movie now? Like, that's the second I saw him, I was like, do I hate this movie? And for a second, I was like, maybe. But it's fine, it brought me back. I came back. You see? It was such a weird roller coaster of emotions for me for this movie. And then he's there and I'm like, I hate this. Let's get this over with. They're talking about dumb stuff and I'm like, I don't really care what's happening right now. Let's move on. And then this pillow pet with wings comes out. And I was like, what?
Pillow pet.
Like, I was like, what's happening? I was so confused.
Yeah.
Casey was right next to me going, I love him. And I'm like, I don't like him.
I liked him. He was cute,
but he didn't have a face and it freaked me out.
It was weird.
He needed to have a face. I'm sorry, but he needed to have a face. But then we got past it. It was fine. I got used to Trevor and the pig chicken. I got used to it. Awkwafina's character's words, the pig chicken. Mm-hmm. I got over it. It was fine. I got pulled back in. So it's the movie almost lost me there for a second, but I came back.
Good. You know what brought you back? The zaddy. Okay.
The what?
The zaddy.
I'm sorry, what is that?
The hot dad.
Okay. I also heard about this before going to see the movie. Yes, the dad is attractive. but he's
extremely attractive.
He was very attractive, but I was not... my ovaries were not busting over this guy.
I know him from... several Wong Kar-wai movies that are like so good, which are In the Mood for Love and Chungking Express. I watched those when I was in college.
And
Chungking Express, he is like, which came out in the 90s, so I think it came out like around the same time it's supposed to take place in the movie, like 1996. The beginning.
Yeah.
Which Simu is not anywhere close to being 25 years old, but all right, whatever. But so yeah, I mean, Tony Leung, he's a great actor. I mean, he's like been in so many, he's a great Hong Kong actor. And so I've seen him in various other things and just like very excited to see him in this movie.
Yeah.
Aged very well. He's also plays like a love interest in those movies a little bit, so it's kind of, you know.
Yeah.
I was biased.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it was weird. I was hearing a lot about people thinking he was really attractive, but then some people were thinking like, well, he was kind of abusive, so like, don't think he's attractive. But like, the actor himself is very, like, he's very attractive man. It was hard to be like, this man is drop dead sexy when he was being such an asshole.
Well,
like,
I think, you know, it is a good, it's a good story because he really fell in love with the mom.
He did, yeah.
Like, and gave up everything for this mom, and just, he could not change the way he thinks about these 10 rings and the need for him to be strong. Like, it makes sense why he became the person that he became, and it's just like, yes, like, but the next generation doesn't need to be that way, but, like, it makes sense. Like, he's not gonna change who he is. Like, he changed for his wife, and then his wife was murdered because of him. So, like, he's going to become a monster.
Right.
You know, like, it makes so much sense. It's, like, such good writing. It's such good backstory. Like, it really is, like, very well done. And apparently the original, like, he's supposed to be, like, a bad guy, and it's a very, very, very racist comic that it's based off of. And his, like, character, I don't remember what the name was, but it was supposed to be, like, the roots of that character are from a very racist place, and they just completely changed it to be a more dynamic, more personable, realistic kind of person, even though he's, like, 1,000 years old, right? Like,
right.
And it's great. Like, it's awesome that they just adapted this, like, kind of problematic Marvel comic into something that's, like, way more fun and, like, breaking box office records, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, everyone's story arc was well done. Like, this was a very well put together story. Like, it was fantastic. It was fantastic.
Okay. Did you see the Pokemon in that other universe? Did you see the Ninetales? That fox thing that had the white Ninetales.
Like, I legit, in theaters, like, when they were driving through, like, Jurassic Park style in their little Jeep. Like, doo-doo-doo.
And the Jeep had, like, the Jurassic Park, like, with the claw dudes, like, thing on the side. Looked exactly like Jurassic Park.
Razor Face, or whatever the hell his name. Yeah, Taser Face.
Right.
Razor that's from Guardians. But
arm claw?
Razor Fist.
Fist. Claw. Razor Fist.
Razor
Fist. You're right. It's Razor Fist.
Razor Fist.
Yeah.
And, like, and the second I saw the fox thing that looked like Vulpix. Basically.
Yes, Ninetales.
I was like,
yes.
I was like, Casey, is this, like, that's the land of Pokemon? Like, what is this?
It's
like,
a fucking Pokemon. It's, like, exactly the same. It looked exactly the same. It's a Pokemon.
It looked just like Vulpix. It did.
Vulpix evolved the Ninetales.
Yeah. And then the things in the very beginning, the horses or whatever.
Yeah.
Looked like something from, like, Avatar. You know, Pandora or something.
Ooh, but those Chinese lions.
I loved those. Those are my favorite.
Those were so cool.
Those were my
curly
favorite.
Hair? Dude, yes. That was awesome.
I loved those ones. Those are my favorite. So yeah, the realm that they went to also kind of took me out of it, but it was so pretty that I just went with it. And I loved the society that lived there. They were really great. Like, so vibrant. Like, it was such a vibrant, beautiful, colorful movie. Oh my goodness. I loved it so much.
Just joke. I'm just laughing about what you said about me going to see Free Guy for the third time.
Also, you loved it so much, I thought you were going to go see it again.
No, I don't need to. I really don't.
No, that's an inside joke, everyone. Alessandra went and saw it once, and then while she was here visiting, she went accidentally with her cousins. And so that's why I said, no, you went a second time because you loved it.
I really did like that movie. I really did like it. It was a good movie.
I have yet to see it. I don't know if it's even still in theaters anymore, but I was supposed to go it see is. It with my coworker. I'm gonna try and I'm gonna ask her if she's free. Maybe we'll see it on Friday.
It probably will be, if you don't see it in theaters, it will probably be on Disney Plus at some point.
Really?
Is yeah, it's distributed is it by Disney. It's Disney.
Oh.
It's what? Not Disney, but it's distributed by Disney. So.
Oh, okay.
Feel like it's gonna be on there or Hulu. You know.
I think it is time that we talk about
Awkwafina.
Talk about Our Lady.
Yes!
Our Lady Awkwafina.
Oh, yeah. She killed it in this
movie. I'm not gonna lie. It was a little interesting seeing Awkwafina in this movie, just because she seemed like she was going in, like, one direction with her movies, and so this just seemed like a little... But, I mean, like, but all of her characters in all the different movies she's been in, like, Crazy Rich Asians and, what's the one that she did for A24?
The Farewell.
The Farewell.
Yeah, and also the Oceans movie.
Oceans 8 or something. I watched that one.
Yeah, I watched that as well.
Yeah. Her characters have been very different in all of these. So, like, this isn't...
And Raya. This isn't... Raya, too.
Yes, Raya. So, this isn't completely out of the ordinary for her. It was just... I just thought it was interesting that, like, that she was in here. And it wasn't... At some points, it kind of seemed like she was pointing to be a love interest, but I think she kind of just stayed like the sidekick friend.
Yeah.
I liked that.
Yeah. In interviews and stuff, Simu has said that he liked that they didn't push it between them. And then, like, the grandma says something in the very beginning about why you guys aren't married yet. But that's it. Like, they just, they're friends. Like, and it's great that they didn't need to have any kind of love interest, you know, in this movie. Like, maybe it'll be in the future, but even then it was
maybe.
Like, they're just really good friends, and they've been friends for, like, 10 years, and it's, like, important for them to get through this together.
You know. And they have great chemistry, like the two of them, like, going to karaoke and...
That was amazing. Just, like, the karaoke at the end.
And Awkwafina just, like, being chaotic.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Like, times 10, like, the entire movie was just...
so...
amazing. Her outfits were so funny and so cute. Like, she dressed... like, it's like, when we first meet Shang-Chi and Katie, they seem like... two people, like, just out of college, like, just trying to stay young. Like, they're...
Right.
Like, they haven't grown up.
Yeah.
They... Which totally makes sense for Shang-Chi, because his childhood was, like, basically nothing.
He
was
didn't just, even like, get one.
He didn't have a childhood.
Yeah.
So, like, this is him, like, kind of getting it now.
Yeah.
And just, like, the way that they dress was so funny. And, like, super, like, just young for them, which is just super funny for a Marvel character.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Awkwafina was fantastic. She was hilarious. She was beautiful. Mm-hmm. She was badass. She was everything I wanted and more. I think I'm in love with her.
I mean, you know, I've seen her in those other movies, like you said, the Oceans movie, and even in Raya, I thought she was a little bit much in those movies, like. She's the person who is her, Brooke, like, her queen's, like, attitude in life, like, can be a lot when you're watching it, like, in Raya, or when you're watching it in, like, Ocean's 8. You only get those, like, bit parts, so it's, like, it's a really intense kind of performance, whereas, like, in The Farewell, she's a lot more... down to earth and, like, subdued, and you get to see her acting, like, really well in that movie, and we talked about that in one of our podcasts.
Yeah, and even though she's kind of a little much in this movie too, I think the movie had kind of set she's great, because the movie had set its tone.
Yeah.
Like, another thing that kind of, like, took me out then back in was, like, the movie had a very solid tone in the beginning, and then once we get introduced to Shang-Chi and Katie, it's completely flipped on its head. Like, it's done a complete 180, and it's something completely different, and we have to now get used to this. So it's just, again, a lot of things pulling me in and out this entire time. But once we got the pace, once we got, like, everything going, it was fine. like,
and also with the addition of the sister, who obviously that the actress Meng Jo Jang, I don't know how to pronounce her name, I'm sorry, but she's fucking amazing. Apparently this was her first movie. Awesome. She just was a stage actress, and then she ended up marrying like the choreographer from this movie. Like,
I heard that too.
A plus. This chick was fucking awesome. Okay, like everything she was doing. She was an amazing fighter, an amazing actress. Like, everybody was an amazing actor in this movie. Simu, loved him. I really want to watch Kim's Convenience now because he's like in that show. Mm-hmm. He's a Canadian, and I just I want to watch it. I'm excited. I love him.
Yeah, he was really cute.
Yeah.
Simu was very cute. But yeah, no, his sister was super cool, and we kind of get, like, we'll obviously put spoilers in the beginning of this for anyone who hasn't seen it yet, but we, in the end credits scene, we kind of get, you know, after, you know, the dad passes, and she kind of goes back to the compound to, like, kind of clean things up or whatever.
She's gonna be the head of it now.
Yes. So she kind of turns into a villain, right? Like, it's...
She's like the head of a gang, so
I don't know. We'll see. I was getting some villainy vibes from it, like, a little bit.
Sure.
Like, it was... but I guess you never know. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
What else?
It makes me excited. It gets me stoked about what's to come. And I hope that Katie and Shang-Chi are both in the Doctor Strange movie. Like, I feel like they're going to be. And I really hope that their story continues, you know?
Yeah, so I'm guessing, is there going to be, like, a next Avengers movie where, like, all the new Avengers are kind of coming in? Like, is that like what's gonna, like, is this group still called the Avengers? Are they gonna be called something else? Like, and then how are, like, the Eternals gonna, like, kind of pull into this, because they know about the Avengers too? So it's just like, I'm really interested to see. I don't think a new Avengers is gonna be established, like, in this phase, probably in the next phase, because we just have a lot of new people to introduce.
Let's look at this, what's slated for this phase, because I just want to make sure that, you know, we can see
know what's happening.
Yes.
Yes.
We've already seen okay, let me look at this. We saw Black Widow, which was not really part of it because it was more of like a prequel thing.
Yeah.
But
we do know that probably her sister will be brought in to something at some point.
She didn't look like she was in the trailer for Hawkeye. So
doesn't mean she won't be in it though, but yeah.
I'm sorry, I found an article, but the article's way out of date because it did not include the pandemic. So just things so were supposed to be coming out this year, and it really was a little bit, it really fucked it up. So we've already seen a lot. We've got a bunch of things coming up. We got Eternals, Spider-Man,
which are both coming out this year. Eternals and, right?
Yeah.
Or is Eternals early next year?
Eternals is in November, and then Spider-Man's in December. So it's coming up. Then we've got
4 Marvel movies this year?
Yeah.
Jeez.
That's a lot. That's a lot of movies.
Merry Christmas to me.
And next year there's going to be 4 as well. Okay. If all goes
well.
Has there
always been 4?
No.
I thought like there's only ever been like 2.
2, yeah.
Okay.
2 or 3, maybe. Just okay, checking. So yeah. then next year we've got Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, okay, Thor, okay. Love and Thunder.
Okay.
Black Panther 2.
Yeah, okay.
Captain Marvel 2.
That's right, that's right.
Guardian, and then 2023 is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Have Blade, which is exciting.
Yes, Blade. Okay.
And then Quantumania.
Okay.
And then Fantastic Four.
They are doing another Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah, so the stuff that we've got on Disney Plus, we've already seen are WandaVision, Falcon, Winter Soldier, Loki, and What If. Those are all out now. What If's almost done, I think. I watched a few episodes of that, actually. I watched, like, 3 episodes of that. It was fun.
I think there's a new episode tonight. I think there's going to be, like, 18 episodes. It's, like, a long season or something.
Oh, shit. Seriously?
It's some crazy number like that. I think I was checking on it on IMDb. I think there's, like, 18 episodes.
Okay. All right.
I could be wrong. Let me double check.
So this is what's coming up in late 2021. We got Ms. Marvel and Hawkeye, right?
And then next
year we've got She-Hulk, Moon Knight, Secret Invasion, Ironheart, Armor Wars, I Am Groot, and the Guardians of the Galaxy Happy Holidays thing. We got a lot of stuff coming up on the
On IMDb here it says season 1 18 or I don't know, like, it because the What If episodes are kind of just showing up as they, like, come out, but it says episode guide 18, so I think there's gonna be 18 episodes.
Okay, cool.
Oh wait, season 2 already on here? No, okay, so there's 9 episodes in each season. I didn't think they would. So they already have a season 2 planned, and there's going to be 9 episodes in season 2?
Cool. I mean, it's a lot easier to make an animated thing.
That's so true.
So it's a lot less money. So they're going to be able to.
They do have a lot of the voice act, like the actual actors in there, though.
And
like,
Chadwick Boseman, it was his very last role in that Black Panther
episode. I know. Bless him.
Yeah. So anyway, bless back to Shang-Chi.
Yes. Anything you want to say about, like, the final fight? The crazy, like, dragon demon fight?
That was fun. I mean, come on. Like, it became, like, Game of Thrones almost. And it was just...
Basically.
You know, it definitely was cool to have a dragon in it. 2 dragons. And, you know, having that whole, like, mystical aspect to it was really fun. Katie being able to shoot the dragon in the neck was really cool. You know, it definitely had, like, a lot of, like, it felt like Avatar almost in a lot of ways as well. And I feel weird.
I was,
like,
getting lots of, like, Pandora, like, alien vibes from it.
Well, that, no, I meant the Avatar.
Oh, Avatar. Last Airbender.
Yeah. That was what I was feeling too. You know?
Yeah.
Because they were, like, bending the air and stuff.
Yes!
It was, like...
it definitely seems like Shang-Chi's mom and his aunt as well have, like, airbending powers.
They, like, have the universe, like, they can, like, move things. And,
yeah.
You know, it definitely was... cool to see that, and the way that they would do it, and Shang-Chi's, like, ability to adapt to what his mother taught him and everything. And I just want to, like, give him a hug.
Yes,
I loved also the bus scene, the bus fight.
Yeah, the bus fight was so cool.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, these are just things we want in a Marvel movie. And we got so many of those scenes in this movie. I mean, it was so much more satisfying than watching Black Widow. Like, just in general, there was more content. There was more fun stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, we got to learn a lot more. It was so new. It was like, it was honestly really interesting timing for the Black Widow movie to kind of come out. Because, like, honestly, weren't we talking about a Black Widow movie, like, when Avengers came out? We're like, Black Widow needs her movie. Hawkeye needs his movie. Like, and, like, this stuff is, like, just happening now. Like, it's nice that they are getting around to it, but it's timing. Like, it just seems... I know that we had, like, a lot of iterations of Black Widow to kind of, to uncover, because she's, like, it's such a multifaceted character in a way, mm-hmm. Who's, like, constantly changing, but, like, I don't know. She's not as interesting as Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings.
In this, yeah. Like, I think her background, we'd already known it, so it was like, all right, so what can you bring to this? And what they brought to it was Yelena, which is great. So at least we got that. But in this movie, we got Katie. We got, you know, which is interesting because Wong was like, in that end credits scene, was like, Katie, you're part of this too. And you're like, well, what's up with Katie? Why is she in it? You know, like.
I don't know. Like, just.
All right.
Just because she's with Shang-Chi and she fought in the battle and she knows about it. Like, yeah. I don't. Maybe she has something special about her. And then that last, or no, that was the first end credit scene. The second end credit scene was his sister, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was the first end credit scene where Wong kind of is examining the rings and kind of saying that it's a super old artifact that, like, they just don't really know what it is or when it came from or what its purpose is.
Probably an alien.
Probably something.
I don't know. I'm very excited for Eternals, so that's the next Marvel we're going to talk about. Chloe Zhao, that's all I have to say. Very excited about that.
I don't know if I didn't know that she was directing this or if I just, like, knew and forgot, but the second I... Because, like, I had seen the Eternals trailer and I was like, yeah, that's super cool. I'm super excited. And then this time when I was watching Shang-Chi, I saw Chloe Zhao on there. And I was like, fuck yeah, Chloe's directing. I'm fucking excited. Like, I said that, like, straight up in the theater.
Yeah. She's a good fucking director, you know? It's like,
she's so great. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
All right.
Let's take a look at these plot keywords.
Yeah, okay. Oh, these are good ones.
We got superhero, Marvel Comics, based on comic, dragon, martial arts. All right.
Solid.
Sure, no valet. No fight club.
Katie getting to drive the car was like, I loved it. I loved that there was like car scenes in this too. Like, those are so fun. Come on. Everybody loves
those. Car action scenes. Awesome. Always awesome. Always. Let's take a look at this Metascore. I got a 71.
You think they're going to sell little Morrises in Disneyland? Like, or at the store? Like, Disney store? Like, little plushy Morrises? They probably will.
Casey said there were some already at Target.
There you go.
Or something. They didn't like how they looked.
Mm.
So maybe they're not that great. But I'm on the Metascore website, Metacritic website. I got 41 positive reviews, 8 mixed reviews, and 2 negative reviews. I saw that there's one negative review in that highlight on IMDb.
Yeah, the Slant Magazine.
Let's take a look.
Yeah.
Well, let's read it and get it over with, I guess. Let's see. So that was a 38. Okay, so the New York Times actually gave it a 30, so even lower.
Okay, let's hear it.
So New York Times gave it a 30. It says the film uses the superficial markers of Asian culture and filmmaking without presenting anything unique in its Marvel take on that tradition. Well, because it's not based on that tradition. It's based on a comic. I'm confused by that. Are they not aware that this isn't real? That it's based on fiction?
It was also made by Asians? So
how can it not be true to the culture? In what aspects are true, I guess?
Well, it's a fictionalized, like, application of specifically like Chinese culture, right?
Yeah.
Which we saw in Raya, we saw the blanketing of the like Asian cultures and stuff in Indonesia and all that. All kind of together in one movie, and people did say that that was a little problematic as well, because it was like, oh, let's just pull from all these different cultures instead of focusing on one culture. Which is the same with like Moana as well, which is just Pacific Islander in general.
Yeah. You
know, and not really specifically. Specifically Pacific.
Specifically Pacific.
So, I mean, that's always like something to be aware of and stuff. But I thought this one was definitely more specifically Chinese. You know, like they spoke a lot of Chinese, that's for sure. Like this, they spoke more of another language than any other Marvel movie. Like, hands down.
I think the one thing I was seeing someone on TikTok was kind of reading through the translations, and they were saying that what they were actually saying in Chinese, I think it was Mandarin, actually. Was not really what the subtitles were saying. It was like they kind of preferred what, like, a more detailed, like, they're like, this is kind of more what it was saying. What was it? It was like, there was something the father says to Shang-Chi, and it's, I think the translation in the movie was just like, you know, you need to do better, or like, I'm wiser than you. Mm. But like, kind of what he was actually saying was, I've eaten more salt and something than you. Like, I've done an action more than you. Mm-hmm. And the person was just kind of saying, like, this, what he actually says is, like, a bit more of a burn, and, like, and would have been a bit cooler to actually say, like, in the subtitle. I felt like the subtitles were not too lengthy and very easy to read, and probably because they were oversimplifying a lot of it.
Yep. That's not good. I bet Chinese audiences are like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I've told, like, I'm so bad at reading. I've told you in my K-dramas, sometimes these characters say so much stuff that I miss sentences because I can't read that fast. But,
yeah, you're not a quick reader.
But at least they're taking the time to put it in there. Like, to put in the whole thing.
I bet there is a lot of hilarious translation with your K-dramas. Let's be honest.
I mean, I wouldn't know. I really wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Wouldn't know unless I learned Korean. So would not know. But yeah. Anyone pointing out to you? Let's see, I'm gonna look at the mixed ones.
I mean, a lot of these are, like, really general. Let's just... Okay. I'm glad that this movie's doing really well. It actually did 3 times better than the Labor Day box office ever. It literally busted, like, records like crazy.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's what I saw. I'll read the highest one, which is just this 89 from Peter Travers, the ABC News. So what if the show-off climax deserts depth for dazzle? As the first Asian hero in Marvel history, former stuntman Simu Liu is action poetry in motion, and his epic starring debut kicks off the fall film season on a rousing high note.
Wow.
Did you see those nice pictures of Simu in his stock photography?
I saw the Twitter post, and it was like... Yeah. It was like Simu as a stock photo model, a thread, and then he replied to that and said, "This is awesome. I hate it."
I loved. There was somebody who was like that tweeted about it. It was like, Shang-Chi goes into hiding, and then it's like how Shang-Chi goes into hiding. It is a stock photography like model. And because, like, Awkwafina was making fun of him on the plane for, like, his name is basically Sean. Like, it's the same name. And he's like, wow, I wonder how your dad found you. But also, I like that Katie was a Chinese-American who didn't actually know that much Chinese, like, didn't know Mandarin that much. And so she, like, didn't really speak it that much. She could, like, understand it, but it was nice because, like, a lot of Chinese-Americans don't speak Chinese, too. So it's, like, represent them, Katie, you know? She's perfect.
Yeah.
That was cute.
Yeah, that is nice. Yeah. Super cute. Any other reviews we like? I'm not really seeing any. I'm trying to look through these mixed reviews, but I'm not... I don't know.
I'll read the Consequence one again, where my brother works. Who just went to the VMAs this weekend and got to interview people there, so that was pretty cool.
Wait, which one's that one? The Consequence one? Is it in the green?
Yes, it's a green. If Shang-Chi isn't the best MCU introduction since Guardians of the Galaxy, it's also the best standalone adventure since Black Panther. There's a storytelling maturity that demonstrates Marvel is still willing to go back to basics, even as it gets more fantastical. It's also a visual feast with some of the most outlandish special effects scenes in any MCU entry.
Okay. All right.
I mean, dude, I mean, if you're going to talk about special effects, universe, like Steven Universe, Doctor Strange is like, that movie is insane. I still think about how crazy the CGI was in that movie because it was, oh my God. It was wild.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So wild.
Yeah.
Well, that was Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. We're so excited for the other movies coming out. We love talking about Marvel on this channel. We love Marvel on this channel. Love Marvel so much.
This channel, we're YouTubers, just that's it now. We're no podcast anymore.
Oh, sorry, channel. I meant like, that's right. This we're podcast. Also a podcast. We love Marvel in this house.
Yeah,
okay,
we do.
There we go. Just in general. Thank you everyone for listening. If you enjoyed Shang-Chi or are excited about the other Marvel movies coming out, please let us know. Please email us at allbythepopcornpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to rate and review our show, that'd be really great. You can do that on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. We have now been added to Amazon Music, and we are on Spotify, if that's where you prefer to listen to your podcasts. We are also on YouTube, which, if you're watching this, where you currently are, please subscribe. Just search All by the Popcorn Podcast and subscribe to our channel. And if you need notifications on future episodes that we release, please follow our social media. We have Twitter @ByThePopcorn, Instagram @AllByThePopcornPodcast, and Facebook. Just search All by the Popcorn Podcast and like our page. We also have a TikTok. We just posted a lot of our fun Disney TikToks on there, Disneyland, when we had our Disney day trip. And we have some other ideas cooking, so we will get around to that. But definitely follow that. It's just All by the Popcorn Podcast, and you'll see our little cute little popcorn logo. And we have some merch, so please check that out. But thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll talk to you in the next one. Goodbye!
Bye!